Manifested live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Get to our next guest. Philip Myberg is the Group Head of Trade at Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking. And we are going to be speaking today about Standard Bank's Africa Trade Barometer on the subject of trade. Essentially, Philip will tell us more about it, but essentially Standard Bank looks at a barometer across 10 African countries representing almost about two-thirds of the African economy. And very interesting to see how this particular barometer comes together. So let's hear a little bit more about that from Philip. Philip, good evening. Thanks so much for joining us on Kaya Biz.
Hi, good evening. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So let's start off with how you pull the barometer together and the areas that you look at. Because I think this is quite an interesting, I'm guessing it's a proprietary barometer.
Sure, yeah, it is quite interesting. It's quite unique. What makes it very different to your typical reports on trade in the continent is that it's biased towards SMEs intentionally. Survey businesses, as you said, across 10 markets across Africa, over 2,200 businesses, 70% of those are SMEs. And we gauge from them their view around how government is supporting them with regards to trade. How are they trading? Are they trading regionally into Africa? They trade with China. What are their experiences at crossing the borders? Their experience of the macroeconomic environment, etc. So it's certainly quite unique in that sense. And then we overlay that with obvious data points from a macroeconomic perspective from the World Bank and IMF, etc. So it's a very interesting barometer that allows us now in its fourth edition to really start getting some good trends also around what SMEs are saying about trade on the ground.
Absolutely. And I think that is really the sweet spot of this particular barometer is that, qualitative feedback that you can actually get from the SMEs. All too often, I think Africa becomes a victim of, averages, very generalistic extrapolation. By 2030, the consumption will be XYZ without actually having a handle on the idiosyncrasies of each and every market along the way. So this is a great
absolutely
report.
Absolutely spot on.
So let's talk
absolutely
a little
bit. Absolutely spot on. We've been inundated with requests for information. We know that access to information is a critical challenge on the continent. Businesses struggle to make decisions. Policymakers can't make the right decisions because, as you say, the data that's available is either very outdated or it gives you overarching GDP numbers or very macro
right.
level detail level, and you simply just can't make the right decisions at such a 60,000 foot view.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk a little bit about some of your findings. Very big shifts here. Tanzania is now ranked the fourth highest in terms of attractiveness as a trade partner, and Ghana sadly moved out of the top three and fallen to eighth place. Let's talk through those key ones and then we can speak about the others. Tanzania, what's really improved there?
Sure. Tanzania has been coming along nicely this year, and businesses in Tanzania is really starting to feel that government support coming through. You're starting to see that they benefit from good regional integration. The current president there has done a lot for regional integration and relationships with the likes of Kenya and Uganda.
Yes.
And that's starting to flow through into sentiment. A lot of good work happening in infrastructure too, specifically. That's a strong lever for the business sentiment at this point in time in Tanzania. One interesting data point coming out of the barometer is in the last 3 years, the road network in Tanzania has tripled. So that is just absolutely remarkable to think that, and that is, has happened. Naturally, that will have a big impact on trade and in the continent. We know that the continent's road infrastructure is generally very poor. The survey tells us that, and unfortunately still 80% of Africa's goods move across roads. So there's lots of work to be done.
Absolutely.
In alternatives. Yeah.
Tanzania is in a really lovely neighborhood where regional integration goes. East Africa is so coordinated. And you're right, they were a little bit of the outside cousin to sort of the Uganda and Zambia relationship. Sorry, not Zambia, Uganda and Kenya relationship. So it's great to see them pulled
Kenya.
In.
Yes,
and then on Ghana's side, shame, really impacted by this macroeconomic pressure on the country. A 30% fall, I think, in the past year, or certainly over the last 3 years, a great deal of supply constraint where cocoa is concerned, which, of course, is a major export.
Yeah, a significant challenges in Ghana. GDP is down for a few years in a row now. You've got inflation challenges. You've got foreign debt challenges that they've experienced. And critically, what businesses on the ground are telling us is that the lack of availability of US dollar in the market is just a significant challenge. If there's no dollar liquidity in the market because of the debt challenge, because of the inflation challenge, then you simply can't fund imports. And then, you know, all of a sudden the entire value chain comes to a standstill. So that is unfortunately the case for Ghana, but there is a glimmer of hope on the horizon. There's certain questions that we ask that certainly indicate that businesses are starting to become more optimistic in the future of Ghana. They're starting to invest in rail projects and alternative energy projects. So there's certainly some hope on the horizon for Ghana.
Ghana was the recipient of an IMF loan a little over a year ago, was it not? And it was pretty, I think it was predicated on some sort of reform in the financial system or the bond system.
Yes, so it's that reform and that agreement that's created certainty, which is absolutely critical when it comes to foreign debt. Is what, you know, everyone was waiting for what was going to happen,
yes.
And that slows the economy down. That brings uncertainty, and the moment that agreement was reached, it allows businesses to plan better, to mitigate their risk better, et cetera. So certainly that's one thing. I think we're at a turning point for Ghana in this regard.
Okay. South Africa stays at the top, interestingly. Is that sort of an infrastructural head start that we've got?
Yes. It's a reflection of the maturity of our economy,
yes.
Versus the rest of the countries. It certainly does not say that South Africa is perfect when it comes to trade. It
just
says, in relation to the 9 other markets, South Africa generally tends to perform better in the eyes of the businesses and also at a macroeconomic level. Of course, South Africa has, in contrast to many of the other markets, had a fairly stable economic environment in the last year. The rand dollar is certainly more stable than in many of the other markets we're looking at. Inflation certainly fairly strong, fairly good. So positive components there, but of course we know that there's infrastructure challenges. The businesses
For sure.
are telling us how they're struggling at the ports, they're struggling with the rail infrastructure, and we're seeing the results of that in the likes of Maputo, where you're seeing the port of Maputo, then the port of Beira, the port of Beira, all increasing their volume significantly. So I think a lot of the supply chains are shifting in that direction because of the challenges that they're experiencing in the east coast of South Africa.
And interesting to see that Mozambique moves up to one place to third place, right behind Namibia. I had thought that all of these had shifted up. So Mozambique 4-3, Nigeria 6-5, and Zambia 9-8. I had assumed was just because of Ghana falling out of the way, but in fact, your point about those ports is a really good one.
Absolutely. So, and apologies for the noise in the background of the airport. But the Mozambique story is an interesting one because there's certainly been some positive movement in that market. Mozambique, the government specifically, is being applauded by the businesses, generally speaking, in Mozambique for doing more to support SMEs. Some very good localization policies coming into place on how SMEs can benefit from the LNG project. And then, of course, the domestic gold has stabilized against the dollar. Liquidity is starting to come back into the market. There's certainly a couple of very positive components in the Mozambique context.
Final question for you, Philip. Angola dead last. I'm so surprised.
Yes, unfortunately, Angola's got a lot of real challenges on hand macroeconomically.
Sure.
We know that there's challenges, inflation, dollar liquidity challenges, infrastructure challenges. And it's been so for the last few years. But I'm really looking forward to next year because I do think that projects like the Lobito Corridor will have an impact. You're seeing strong interest from China to continue investing and lending into Angola. You're seeing the US government also being very pro-Angola. And I believe that could certainly benefit Angola in the medium to long run. So
okay.
we remain fairly confident, yeah.
I was just getting ahead of myself on those top headlines then, instead of waiting for that to filter through to the SMEs. And again, that's why this granularity from the barometer is so important. Philip, I must thank you so much for giving us this insight. Philip is the Global Head of Trade for Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking, and telling us a little bit more about the Africa Trade Barometer, a proprietary Standard Bank barometer, focusing in particular on the small to medium market, medium enterprise market, and their ability to trade. Thanks so much for joining us this evening, and safe flight.
Thank you so much.
All right, then.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.